We're taking podcasting to a whole new level. New video podcasts are available now. Download video podcasts from PTI, Around the Horn, and Mike and Mike. From PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to BS Report, second one this week. We have a lot of stuff for you today. My friend Mike Tolan, one of the biggest Philly fans alive, is going to come on and talk about the World Series. Cousin Sal with the Week 8 lines. And at the end of the podcast, we will reveal, along with Matthew Berry, the last five people who will be in our fantasy basketball league that we will have. I think we're doing the auction on Sunday, so stay tuned for that. I really only have one Philly friend. Maybe I have more, but this is the one that jumps to mind. So I had to have him on because the Phillies are in the World Series and they have not won a title in 25 years. I wanted to get the mood of the Philly sports fan, as well as the perspective of a guy that I share Clippers season tickets with, Mike Tolan. What's happening?
I think I'm honored, Bill. I'm not sure. I'll have to digest that a little bit, but I guess to be in that rare company and to think that you've forgiven me for stealing Elton Brand from the Clippers.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah, you were right in the middle of that. So Boston and Philly, we're like natural enemies of the wild. I'm not sure how we became friends, but for those of you who don't know who Mike Tolan is, he's done a lot of sports movies and a lot of TV shows and is secretly one of the five most wealthy people in Hollywood. Or at least
does
in the top 5,000.
You're 5, not going to tell my wife that, right?
But you were responsible, along with your partner, Brian Robbins, for Varsity Blues.
Yes, we had fun.
Hardball?
Almost 12 years ago. Hardball was fun with Keanu in Chicago, and we did Coach Carter and Dreamer and Radio and Arliss and some other shows you didn't like that much.
Yeah, Arliss is a sore subject with us. But, you know, I look at it, now that I'm friends with you, I look at it from the other side. You kept that show on for 7 years. I think that's an accomplishment.
I think so. We did, almost 80 shows and had probably 300 and some athletes of, great renown. I mean, it got to the point where everybody kind of wanted to be on the show, and it wasn't easy to keep that show on the air, as you might imagine.
Well, you were responsible for the fact that now we have to see Robert Wall walking around the field before every World Series game.
He doesn't talk to me now because the Phillies beat the Dodgers. And what I must say, okay, so check this out. I'm a kid who goes way back. In fact, we have a pretty big generation gap. It's kind of amazing we get us along as well as we do, considering how much older I am than you.
Yeah.
But never mind. I mean, I was old enough to remember 64 when the Phillies had a 6.5-game lead with 12 to play. So, we're still trying to erase that psychic scar. And here I am now with my 9-year-old son. So he's almost the exact same age I was then. And we're sitting in the dugout section last Wednesday night cheering for our team to win in our hometown. It was surreal. Robert wasn't very friendly.
Now, I was going to ask you about that. You brainwashed your son.
Yeah.
Who is growing up in L.A. You brainwashed him to be a Philly fan, so I'm probably going to have to hit you up on advice for that at some point, unless I get that.
It's really about, presenting the opportunity. It's kind of like those ducks. You go through that whole psychological thing. I remember I studied in college at some point. You talk about imprinting. If the duck follows the mother at the right age to the right place and they get the drink of water, then, they follow that mother wherever she takes them forever. So I just started taking Lukey to spring training in Clearwater. And so, the fact that he has pictures of him and Ryan Howard and him and Jimmy Rollins and him and Chase Utley on the walls in his room probably helps a little. And we went to the last game at the Vet, the first game at Citizens Bank Park.
So you brainwashed him.
Yeah, I brainwashed him pretty effectively, I have to say. I mean, there we were last Wednesday night, and we're sitting in the box next to the McCourts. So it's me and my kid wearing red, being silly and loud. And there's Mayor Villaraigosa, Tommy Lasorda, Al Michaels, Jamie and Frank, Sherry Lansing, and Bill Friedkin, who, of course, watch a lot of Clippers games across the court from us.
Yeah.
And I got a kiss from Sherry and a wink from the mayor, and then when Jimmy hit the homer to lead off the game, got the coldest shoulders from both for the rest of the game. But it felt good, you know.
And that was it? They shut you out after
they
that?
Shut me out totally.
Wow.
I mean, Sherry, I've known for years. We made a lot of movies with her, but it's, you know, it's tough being on enemy turf, and I don't know that those people take it quite as seriously. Actually, Bill Friedkin was the one guy who came over to me and whispered and said, good luck, I get it. You know, I'm rooting for you and your kid. This will be a great experience for you.
You should have made a bet with him on the game, like if the Dodgers lost, then he had to make Cruising too.
He's doing opera now, man. He's a whole other highbrow thing. It's, you know, I can't relate.
Yeah. You know, I think you can get away with being a fan of a non-local team in L.A. It's probably the only place you can really get away with that without being a pariah. Like, you couldn't have gone to Boston dressed in your Phillies outfit and that whole thing.
No, it's true. I went to Temple the week before with Yom Kippur. So, you know, when you got a team in the playoffs, you got to do everything you can and try to line up whatever forces you can on your side. So I see the rabbi, who's a friend of mine, and he calls me up. At a certain point, there's a section where there's a long song, and somebody's got to hold the Torah for a long time. So he goes, I want to call up Mike Tolan to hold the Torah, and maybe it'll help his beloved Phillies in the upcoming series with the Dodgers.
Oh, that's nice.
Imagine turning the tables and doing that for a Dodger fan of Philly. He'd get booed out of the Temple. But
yeah,
I got smiles and pats on the back, and people were nice to me. Then, of course, I had to get the rabbi tickets for the last playoff game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You're one of those guys who knows how to get things. Hey, well, everybody knows a couple of people like that, the Red and Shawshank kind of category. Now you're probably going to hit up left and right for tickets, right?
Well, like you said, I'm your only friend who's a Philly fan, or however you said that more articulately.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, the only Philly fans are guys who grew up in Philly. You know, they say you don't have a choice on your parents, your religion, and your team, something like that. So, you know, you see people who adopt the Yankees and the Red Sox jump on the bandwagons. But, like, Philly's generally hardcore and lifelong. So
that's a really good point. I don't know anybody who just randomly jumped into a Philly sports team.
No, in fact, there are a lot of Philly people who come to L.A. and jump off the bandwagon and become Laker fans. Won't name any names, but my buddy Smitty Smith. Brutal. I mean, almost unforgivable. The only reason he gets away with it is he started an authentic Philly cheesesteak shop in Westwood. It's called South Street, and they actually ship out the Amoroso roll. So, you know, when we have Eagles games and he caters for the guys, you know, we let him get away with it.
For some reason, that's almost more unforgivable than, like, somebody who ditches their wife and kids and remarries. Like, switching a sports team is, like, 10 times worse. I don't know why. It should be worse to ditch your wife and your family, but I think the sports team's worse.
Yeah, because it goes back to your childhood, and it's like who you are. It's your parents. It's your heritage. It's like, yeah, so back to your question. There are a lot of guys who say, hey, man, you're my only guy. Can you help me get tickets? So when Deborah Winger called this weekend, I knew I was in deep. She's not a Philly fan, and she's clear about it, but she's got a son who they named Babe because her husband, Arliss Howard's a Yankee fan, the whole deal. But, you know, I got to figure something out for her, right?
Well, so are you in, like, the 20s or in the 30s?
I think I just eked up to 32.
It's a nice position to be in.
It's okay. It's
yeah,
great.
You would have settled for this.
I feel really lucky, and my wife says, oh, honey, you do this all the time. Why do you put yourself in this position? And, like, I'll do it up to game time. As long as when the game starts, everybody's sitting where they're sitting, everybody who's not sitting has to shut up, and we just watch the game. I can't wait, man. This is as good as it gets.
Has Chad Michael Murray hit you up yet?
If you ask Chad Michael Murray who's playing, what do you think the odds are he'd know? He's got another wedding coming up.
Yeah.
You know, he's got...
Another wedding?
Well, I mean...
Oh, second wedding, you mean?
Yeah. I went to the first one, which is weird, because, you know, there we all were, like his best friends, his executive producers and network executives. I'm not sure I'd have had guys like me at my wedding. Well, I didn't, because I didn't know anybody then.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't do that. Would you have John Walsh to your wedding?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did, actually. No, but I mean, it's a little different, I think, when
I like John Walsh, by the way. I might have had him too, but I didn't know him then.
Well, he did the Bonds thing with him.
Well, not exactly with him. Dude, I thought we were going to get through this whole thing without mentioning that. Almost.
Well, Bonds on Bonds? Well, it's not like you were going to turn it down. I mean, Barry Bonds saw your Hank Aaron documentary and said, hey, I will give you complete access. You could follow me around this season.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened, right?
Who knew Game of Shadows, right? Who knew? Who knew he was going to be lousy? I mean, nobody would have cared if he was. I mean, he starts the season needing six to tie Babe, and took him, like, what, 3 months to get there? So nobody cared. I mean,
I also think, like, and this is my theory. I even think I wrote about this. I'm all for reality TV, and I'll watch just about anyone. But if it's somebody, like, I genuinely dislike and don't like being around, it's tough to spend an hour with them in any capacity, even if it's a reality show.
I think there was this sort of car wreck curiosity factor working in the beginning. And then, like I said, because he was just striking out or not playing or not, you know, hitting pop-ups, the curiosity goes away. I still say, had he been hitting like he came back and hit the previous September, and he was like barreling by Babe and actually threatening Hank that year, it would have been great theater. Why are we talking about Barry Bonds, man? My team
about
to win its second
World
Series.
I got sidetracked.
5 years.
I got sidetracked. So
back to the Boston Philly thing.
Well, no, this is my next question. So Boston's had a good run, 6 titles in 6 years. The karma now seems to be shifting away from the city of Boston. Once upon a time, Boston and Philly kindred spirits, tortured, cold weather, cared a little too much, got a little too angry when things went bad. 4 sport teams. We hadn't won since 86. You hadn't won since 83. Then things got good for us. And I remember being at a Philly book signing 3 years ago, and people were asking me to write stuff in Philly like, please promise me that this will happen, or I promise you this will happen to you guys someday, Bill Simmons. Like, that's the kind of stuff I was signing for 3 hours. And it was so sad. And now it's like, if this World Series happens, does that lift the malaise in Philly, or is it just a temporary thing?
It's kind of okay right now. I mean, as you remember, or maybe you don't because it's so clouded by this ridiculous run of success.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that sweet wallowing in our own misery. And for many years, I've always strenuously objected to the whole Cubs-Red Sox mystique because I always said we're the losingest team and city of all. And then we had that brief moment of glory when we celebrated our 10,000th loss. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that, so, like, you could really, you couldn't contend with that. It's like, okay, I get it. You guys really are worse than anybody. Mm-hmm. And now there's this great 100-season thing. You know, it's 25 seasons times 4 teams, so it's 100 seasons that we've had this drought. And we revel in it a little bit, like you guys used to.
We did.
This, Bill, we will never become as cocky or arrogant or insufferable as you guys are.
Oh, come on.
No, man.
No, here's the problem.
I mean, you're an exception because you have a perspective because it's kind of what you do for a living, and maybe because you moved away, and you're really pleasant. I actually went and rooted for the Celtics with you last year against the Clippers. It was cool.
Yep.
But it's really, I mean, I was rooting pretty hard against the Bo Sox Sunday night. It just would have felt like, you know, a party where, you know, the big bullies are coming to crash your daughter's bat mitzvah or something.
You had an interesting take on that, and it did make me think that I have changed a little because I said to you, come on, deep down, you're rooting for Boston, Philly. And you were like, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't remember what it's like. I just want us to have the best chance to win, and we have a better chance of beating Tampa, which was an excellent point.
That's right. And it's also all about them. If the Red Sox come in after winning 3 in a row for the 3rd time in 5 years, it's like, oh, can you imagine? And Tito's a genius, and Schilling's throwing out the first ball, and the captain's playing his last game, and how short is Petey at second base? And just like, I don't care about any of those things. I mean, let America discover my guys. We have a cool team, man. We have a young team. There's really only 2 question marks. Like, we go into the off season, win or lose. You got Burrell's a free agent and Jamie's a free agent. We'll probably sign Jamie. We probably won't sign Burrell, but we're bringing everybody back. They actually, this team is embraced by the city. I mean, 3.4 million, that's a lot for Philly. I mean, it's really, I can see by the ticket prices how much people love this team and how psyched they are. And, you know,
I agree with you. They've been a revelation for me the last 3 weeks because I actually watched a ridiculous amount of playoff baseball this year because I was fascinated by Manny and the Dodgers. So I ended up watching a lot of that Philly series and not sure, you know, rooting against the Dodgers because I didn't want Manny to make the World Series, but yet rooting for him every time he came up for reasons that I still can't come to grips with. But anyway, I was really impressed by the Philly team. Like, you have kind of, you have a bunch of those guys that if a team's going to make a long playoff run in baseball, the teams generally seem to have, like Victorino.
Yeah.
Victorino's like a classic playoff guy that I hadn't really fully gotten.
Well, we were lamenting the loss of Rowan because he was kind of the spark plug. He's the guy that, you know, crashed into the fence and will risk anything for the team. And what are we doing without him? Well, Shane completely filled that void. He's actually a guy we got to sign long-term after this year. He's a good, solid, you know, dark horse contender for MVP. Although I'm going a little further out there. I'm looking at the sort of Pat Borders, Rick Dempsey legacy and picking, like, Pedro Feliz to do it. You know, why not?
What are the odds on that?
25-1, since you asked.
Hmm.
By the way, how about Tampa being, like, minus 140?
I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. I kind of felt like they won the World Series when they beat the Red Sox. Now, we said the same thing when the Marlins, what was it? They beat the Cubs? Yeah, Bartman.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of the same thing. Oh, yeah, they won the World Series, but then they actually win the World
Series. Well, somebody explained to me that one of the factors in the line is all the money that was put down on Tampa at 200-1. I mean, you don't have to bet a lot of money for the casinos to be vulnerable at those kinds of odds. So they're trying to bring Philly money into the market a little bit to even it out.
Seems like how many people could have bet on Tampa Bay?
I know one guy. He only bet like $20, but still.
I thought the most interesting thing that came out of the Tampa series, well, you got two things in your favor. The first is that Tampa's bats were ridiculously, unfathomably hot. Like, B.J. Upton hit half as many homers as he did the whole season in that series. That can't continue. I think Longoria can keep hitting, but I don't see the B.J. Upton part. But then the other part is, we kind of killed Dan Wheeler in that series. That was our gift to you as the Red Sox.
I know.
We murdered Dan Wheeler's confidence heading into the next series.
But you invented David Price, and now there's this lefty who throws 100 who doesn't know enough to be scared, and he's going to close.
You know what, though? He should have been invented about five games earlier.
I know.
That was Madden's big mistake. He kept trotting Balfour out there, and Balfour also lost his confidence for whatever reason.
My secret weapon in the World Series, and I love Madden, I love the Spencer Tracy glasses, and I love that he loves Springsteen. You know, he's a guy you can root for. But his mentor, you probably know this.
Yeah.
There's Gene Mauch, who's like, you know, the most pathetic loser, certainly in Philly's history. But, I mean, he did it over and over again. I mean, he lost two-game leads in playoffs, right? He's got the whole Donnie Moore thing. And
you know what I think works against you? I think the 3-4-5 works against you because from what I saw at the Super Bowl, what Eagles, Pats, I'm not bringing that up to throw it in your face, even though the Pats won.
Did they?
Well, here's the thing, and I noticed this, and it was really one of the more unique sports fans experiences that I've had. The Philly crowd, and I recognized it from being Boston when we used to do the same thing, but you guys almost took it to another level, just waiting for something to go wrong. And as soon as stuff started to go wrong in the second quarter, just people were just getting so angry before there was even really reason to get angry yet, and the energy was almost poisonous. And
then I know, but sorry to interrupt, but remember you asked me a few minutes ago about the malaise. I'm not going to say it's gone, and I'm not going to say we expect to win because, you know, that's pretty deeply embedded. But it's a little different with this team, and I can't quite quantify or explain it. But, like, go back to game one against Milwaukee, Sabathia against Myers. Game two, sorry. Hamels wins game one. And, like, there was a sense, we're so winning this game. We're sweeping these guys. We learned what we needed to last year against Colorado. It was just good enough to be in the playoffs. We need to go all the way this year. And that, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but the Brett Myers 9-pitch at bat against Sabathia, where you're cheering for pitch count, the walk doesn't even load the bases, let alone forcing a run. It was the loudest I've ever heard a Philly crowd at anything. Just cheering for the possibility of something really kind of obscure and not clearly meaningful. There's and the rally towel thing, it's a little bush league, I admit it.
What are you talking about?
Okay, but can we compare it to cowbells? I mean, like, the rally towel actually makes it look cool when they show those really wide shots on TV, and it doesn't keep it from being loud because fans are still yelling. And the cowbell thing completely ruins the aesthetic of the game. Horrible.
Yeah, but you can't blame Tampa. I mean, they They just got baseball like yesterday. They don't know what to do. They're like, hey, let's hit some cowbells. Philly's been around for 100 years. They know better. You can't wait.
Here's the thing that kills us. That's true, what you just said, and we're trying to, you know, be good sports about it and not throw it in their face. But, like, in the last, they've won two titles in the four sports in the last 10 years, and we've won none in 25. And they also, you know, people are writing a lot about Chucky and how Gruden came in the last game with the vet. We were clearly going to the Super Bowl, and they killed us. Then the Lightning took out the Flyers. And then there's even this Eagles, Bucks. I think it's like the anniversary is tomorrow. On the exact date, Matt Bryan kicked a 62-yard field goal to beat the Eagles. So there's a little bit of that kind of weird.
One of Andy Reid's top 58 worst losses since he's assumed control. So you're saying the difference between this Phillies team and those Eagles teams when everybody was waiting for something to go wrong was that deep down you did not have the confidence in McNabb and Reid and that whole group.
No, we were 6-point dogs against you guys in Jacksonville. My buddy took the points. I said, you're crazy. First of all, let's just root, and betting your team is wrong. I mean, I would not bet on the Phillies in the World Series. It's piling on. It's conflicted. It's distracting. It's wrong. But, no, there's no way I walked into that stadium in Jacksonville thinking we'd win. I got to tell you, when I fly out for the series, you know, I shouldn't say this out loud, but I think we're going to win. I think we're better. I think it's our time. I think we have the right talent, the right vibe.
Joe Mead, make sure you're recording this part.
Oh, man, this is killing me.
We'll bring this back.
This is really bad. I'll be hearing this forever. But
hold on. But speaking of hearing it forever, in my mailbag about, a month ago, I asked you if you would take the broken wrist for Ryan Howard and allow him to keep playing. And you first asked me what wrist. And then you said you'd take the left wrist, but not the right.
Right. Well,
you stand by that? 5 weeks later, you took some crap.
Look, man, as a buddy of mine wrote me this week, I got to the World Series without having to break either wrist, so I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I'm good with it. Did you see the rallying cry that started? Sort of grassroots, but now it's on T-shirts and on the web.
Is this going to bother me?
No.
What is it?
Why can't us?
Why can't us? I kind of like that.
It's pretty good, right?
You know, you need a slogan. You always, during the champion, you know, when you look back and there's always seems to be a slogan somewhere. We had the idiots for 2004.
Yeah, it's great that it's sort of like, you know, not grammatical, not real English. Tell people to go on the web, man. All the proceeds go to ALS. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah. So why can't us?
Why can't us?
So who throws out the first pitch in game 3? M. Night Shyamalan?
I'm going for Richie Allen, but they're not. That's my guy.
Doc?
Who?
Dr. J.
Dr. J? How about Elton Brand? How about Jim Bunning? No, then that's like some political endorsement, right?
Sly Stallone?
Can't be.
It's got to be. It's got to be a famous Philly person, right?
Frank Rizzo? He's dead. Teddy Pendergrass? No, that'd bring the house down.
That would certainly be memorable.
There was a thing in 1980. This is kind of weird. I don't think you know this, but I wasn't just there as a fan. I was the writer, producer of the World Series film. I was working for Major League Baseball, so I got that gig in my rookie year. So here I am, however many years old, 24 or something, in my rookie year, and I'm like positioned in the Philly dugout for the entire World Series. And Tony Taylor threw out the first ball, and I wrote this ridiculous line, but these are the halcyon days of Lefty Carlton and lofty ambition. And my boss didn't know what halcyon days meant at the time, so that was another one of those things I had to hear for
nice.
The next 25 years. And then I left him and started my own company and called it Halcyon Days Productions. So these are the halcyon days, man. These are them, man. We're back to it. It only took us 28 years.
You know, I was worried about that story, and then you brought it around. I liked
it. Thank God.
Where would you rank Charlie Manuel's pot belly versus Dallas Green's pot belly?
Dallas was out on the field the other night, so I got to see it. You know, you have to consider the attire, right? Because,
yeah.
You know, when you're Dallas Green, you can wear a little sort of like, you know, fluffy shirt that's kind of loose and hangs out, or you can even like have a little zipper jacket. I think Dallas is bigger. I mean, Charlie's bigger than Dallas was then. But right now, man, the years have either been very kind or not so kind, depending on how you look at it.
All right, here are my predictions. First of all, I think Rollins wins the MVP because
Rollins, that'd be great.
From a karma standpoint, I hope you guys feel bad because you booed him this year and you shouldn't have. That was
Wait. All right,
you should not have booed him this year. You should not have. You don't boo your best players. I don't care what they do. You don't boo them.
We didn't.
You booed him. I watched the game.
We booed him only after he said, "You got to boo me to justify what I just said." We never booed him before he came out with that ridiculous tirade in August.
Booed him. You guys are terrible.
All right, keep going.
I think Rollins wins the MVP. I think you win in five. Here's the biggest X factor that would scare the hell out of me if I was a Phillies fan. And by the way, I'm wholeheartedly rooting for you guys because of the history, and I just think the city needs it. But
thank you.
The Brad Lidge not giving up, not blowing a save yet. I haven't seen the stat, but to go through the whole season, two playoff series, and then the World Series, and not blow a save, I can't remember anybody doing that.
Well, the only guy who did it longer in the regular season was Gagne, of course, but he didn't have the playoffs. So he's it. You're right.
And you just know, like, you know, Fox is going to show the graphic 4,000 times. McCarver's going to bring it up every game and explain what a save is. A save is what you get. You know how McCarver always thinks, like, everybody watching has never seen baseball game before? And it's just going to be this constant thing, and that would scare me. And then the other thing.
You think we're going to win in five in spite of a blow?
No. I think we're going to win in five. I'm just saying that scares me the most, the Lidge thing. And then the second thing scares me is Charlie Manuel, a little Wade Phillipsy for my liking. Just a little.
Okay. Well, I hear that, but, you know, we've all come to love Charlie, as we call him, Uncle Charlie.
Yeah.
And there are times in every man's life, you've seen it, when whatever you think of the manager, whatever he does just works. I mean, I saw it with Lasorda in the Gibson year. It was ridiculous, the moves he pulled, and they all turned out right, and they won.
Right.
It just feels like he even brought in Lidge totally against the grain to pitch to Manny. He'd only brought in Lidge in the eighth inning once all year, and he actually gives up a double and a gap to Manny, which puts the tying run on base, but still, he gets out of it, and then an easy ninth and no problem. You know, we all said he's got to bring back Hamels on 3 days rest against Milwaukee. And again, against the Dodgers, Blanton did the job both times. Now he's going to put Moyer back in the rotation, let him pitch game three. It's going to work. Jamie's going to get a win. We're going to go up 2-1. And then I think your prediction will be right. And it'll be Cole in game five.
I am not sold on Moyer. I think that's a mistake.
I love the guy. Look, he's 45. He's older than you, man.
I know.
I was on the field with him.
He's a lot older than me. What are you talking about?
He's like halfway between you and me, I think, right?
Yeah, he probably is.
But I'm on the field in Dodger Stadium again, very convenient for my home team to host that victory party. And he's crying like a baby. He's been in the game 22 years. The closest he's come to a celebration was he was 17 years old, grew up in the suburbs of Philly, cut class to go to the Phillies victory parade in 1980. So here he is, like he's actually going. And Charlie could have, like, kept him out of the rotation. He could have put Happ in, or he could have moved Blanton up. Mm. I love that he's showing the confidence. He's probably going to pitch the first home game. There's something really cool about the guy and his wife, by the way, who's Digger Phelps' daughter. I'm feeling it. I have the faith. It's going to work out.
I think it's going to work out, too. I wish you the best. Before we go, let's go back to Hardball for 1 second. So Keanu's in the church. He's got to bang out this big eulogy about G-Baby. Up to that point, not really the most accomplished actor. You'd even say somebody you might make fun of from movie to movie, depending on what kind of role he's playing. Keanu summons all the strength of this emotional scene, and for about 3 minutes just goes to another level. Takes everybody to a higher place. Were you there?
Yeah.
You had to have known something special was going on here. The Keanu Reeves, I mean, this is like a 220 hitter hitting four homers in a Grand Slam, World Series game or something.
Well, now, it's spectacular in retrospect.
You did not hire Keanu for his acting in that movie. You hired him because it was the sports formula where you get one big name and
I think we hired him because Vince Vaughn said no, which, by the way, it was a much smaller name, but would have been interesting, right? Think about that.
I think that's a better movie with Vince Vaughn, I got to say.
No offense
to Keanu. I love him.
By the way, the premiere party, the big splashy red carpet, black tie thing you wait for 6 years when you make a movie, was on September the 8th,
I remember.
2001, and like the next morning. No, so, I'm sorry, September 10th.
Yeah.
And actually, what was cool about it was I had Hank Aaron there as the beneficiary of the charity, And we brought the real Coach Carter there to, like, meet Hank Aaron so he would sign with us and give us the rights to do Coach Carter. So it was all happened. Then you wake up and the world just fell apart, and who's going to go to our movie Friday night?
Well, I remember, you know,
that many people.
After 9/11 happened, I just figured, all right, I don't have a, you know, nobody's going to ever follow sports again. And
right.
This is it. I got to figure out something to do. And then gradually people, you know, that it set in that, all right, we got to, you know, we can't let them beat us. We got to go back and live our lives. So Hardball would come out that Friday. And at the time, I would write a review every time a big sports movie came out. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Hardball this weekend. I'm going to throw myself into it, write a column about it. Brought one of my buddies, ended up writing this review of Hardball and Keanu. In a weird way, it kind of healed me.
Well,
it was like I felt like I was doing my job again. Yeah, it's somewhere in there.
I've read the Varsity Blues review, of course, over and over. But
that wasn't just a review. I mean, that was, you know, full-scale analysis, which it deserved.
It deserved, you know. Yeah, you taught Brian and me some things we didn't really even know about.
I did. I flipped stuff around for you.
No, the other thing we did in that was we kind of intercut it with the game, sort of flash forward, which
yeah.
I think I do take credit for that.
You're talking about Hardball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good idea.
It helped a little bit because you might have gotten a little tired of Keanu if that speech was just, you know, what it was uncut. But he's a gamer, man. He really worked hard. I mean, he was really tough on himself.
Yeah.
So it becomes hard because he gets mad and screams and starts throwing stuff and you think, uh-oh, what'd we do? And it's all him being mad at himself. But we all came to really respect him, I have to say.
And I would add that since he's kind of gotten older and he can't really play those types of parts anymore, there's been a void for that. The guy who's going to bring you a little unintentional comedy, he keeps you invested. I was watching Speed the other day. I don't know how many actors that movie works with.
Because right.
He was good. He was believable. But it was also almost everything he said made me laugh.
So who's filling the void?
I don't know. You know, Paul Walker thought he was going to do it, and he didn't do it.
So
Vanderbeek, yeah, there's a lot of people who were like, all right, you can throw me in these. But I think as the years pass, we're going to appreciate what Keanu accomplished more and more.
Wow.
Yeah, one last Varsity Blues question. That movie still holds up.
Thank you.
No, seriously, it's
didn't
a solid
make nearly
movie.
As much money. People think, oh, that must have been a $100 million movie. It only made $52 million and change.
But it couldn't cost that much.
It cost $15 million, so it did very well, and it really put us in the movie business. But you know, there's no DVD with added features or Brian Robbins commentary. It's just one of those movies 12 years ago that you go places and people will just out of the blue say, oh man, I watched that thing 50 times in college, or oh, that was my Bible. And it's interesting in watching Friday Night Lights, which is obviously a series shot very differently and all, but there's something about that. We worked really hard to get it right. We went to Texas and we watched. We stayed there during the playoffs. We hung out with the coaches. The original script was kind of like Porky's, and we went to my girlfriend Sherry and said, you know, if we're going to do this, we want it to be authentic and we want to rip it up and start over. And John Gatens, who's our buddy and also wrote Hardball, did a great job. You know, it's the movie gods though, man. You know, it's like playing a game. There's so many things you have no control over. You know, when John Voight grabbed James Vanderbeek's face mask and just dragged him around the practice field, not scripted, just one of those moments.
Yeah.
This is working.
Yeah. And you know, I another great thing, going back to that intentional comedy thing, you don't know that Vanderbeek's going to botch his Texas accent that badly. You just have to cross your fingers and hope.
Yes.
And when he does that, I don't want your life.
I don't want
you. You can't know that's coming.
No.
There you go. You have a commercial based around that phrase.
We had a lot of discussions about should we or shouldn't we. We watched the dailies, and I think it was, let's just have them tone it down a little bit, give it a little hint.
Rate it in.
And how about our girls? Who would have guessed, right? Allie Larder and Amy Smart.
You guys cast that movie pretty well, I gotta say. I always liked Allie Larder after that, along with everybody else who's a red-blooded male. And it took her, for some reason, 8 years to make it?
Yeah, well, it didn't quite work. She had some roles, but it wasn't really happening in the movies. But I think Heroes has turned it around.
Let's be honest, Friday Night Lights kind of ripped off the Lance Harbor knee injury thing.
Totally.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you're fine with it because it's a good show, but let's...
Yeah, no, I'm fine with the whole thing. I actually liked the movie. I thought it was really well shot and sort of in a lot of ways was just irreverent enough to the form.
Hey, what are you working on now? Are you just like too rich to work? You don't have to.
Yeah, I am working on tickets. In case
that's
we haven't established that. So if anybody out there has them, I can never have too many. I got 10 days ahead of me, maybe less.
At what point do you talk yourself into the Shane Victorino story?
I'm working on the Richie Allen story. I said that already, I know. But he's my guy, you know. Do you have one guy from when you were a kid?
Yeah, Freddie Lynn.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. What's the Clipper number this year? Going to win 40?
Oh, yeah, we got to figure that out.
How about, like, Clipper-Sixer bet? I figure the Sixers, Clippers plus, what, 10 games? 12 games?
I don't, I mean, the Clippers really, if, you know, Baron Davis has the 50 game season in him, right?
Looks like it.
He just, no, first year of the new contract, he always gets injured anyway. It's a weird Clippers team.
I know.
I mean, it's really like, if you look at all the rosters, the Clippers team is the one that's the weirdest one to look at. Like Ricky Davis, Al Thornton, Eric Gordon just randomly kind of in the mix, and Kamen and Camby playing together.
I know.
Katino Mobley's kind of floating around. Like, I don't know what
there's
to make of that.
Out there, though, if Baron and Marcus are healthy and play 70 plus games, I mean, it should be at least entertaining.
I know, but that's such a terrible if.
I know.
You know? It's like when you
get in Philly. So if the Phillies win, the Sixers are contending with the Celtics. I would say
you guys are plus 12.
Yeah, that's about right. And now Dallas is vulnerable. We got hope on the gridiron. I mean, we're coming back from bye. By the way, we're squeezing in the Eagles Atlanta game between games 3 and game 4 in Philly. It's right across the street. Matt Ryan, local boy, made good. It's gonna be a fun weekend.
So you're doing the day nighter, right?
Yeah. How often does that happen?
I was telling you on the phone last week when game 4 of Red Sox Yankees 2004, the Pats played Seattle that day.
Right.
And it was the same day night thing, but it was a little more complicated because he had, you know, one game was in Foxborough, the other game was in Boston.
Right.
I think that's how it went. Pretty sure. Hmm. But this is a little better.
Wow, I can actually take my parking spot at Citizens Bank Park and walk across the street to the link. Then I think I'll come back because I'm supposed to meet Hank Aaron. He's giving out the award, the sharp Hank Aaron Award.
Oh, hold on. You just broke the record for most name drops in my podcast. Thank you.
That's not possible.
No, you did it. You did it.
Come on, man. The people you have on. Wait, but I haven't said Barack Obama or John McCain yet.
No, you have not. Oh. Well, you'd have to have a story with them. You've dropped names that you've actually interacted with.
Wait, does Richie Allen count as a name? Nobody's
yes,
ever heard of
him. Yes,
it
doesn't matter. It's,
come on,
it counts.
Have 12 of your listeners email you in about who he is and how
adds
many
to
teams
the total.
He played for.
All right, I'm going to let you go. Mike Tolan, the city of Philadelphia, all the Philly fans, good luck.
Thrilled to have your support. Bill.
Good luck. You have my full support. I have thrown my support behind you.
Means a lot.
All right, talk to you soon.
Take care.
Week 8 of the NFL season coming up. As always, our friend Cousin Sal from Jimmy Kimmel Live is going to join us to go through the Week 8 lines. He picked them earlier, and now I'm going to pick them, and we'll see who does better. Sal, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you feeling? Bad weekend for you. Last night wasn't too bad. But
I'm all right. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I didn't think we were good enough. It's bottom line.
All right.
How are you? I mean, you had some interest.
I'm trying to deflect it. I'm trying to talk about you. my Cowboys are done. My Mets have been done for a while. I don't think they're coming back, but yeah, let's talk
about the Cowboys really quick before we get to the Lions, because that's your team.
Yeah.
You had very, very high hopes heading into the season. Those hopes were blown up to even bigger proportions after the Monday night game in week 2. And now how are you feeling?
Well, it's, you know, and everyone wants to blame, like, Brad Johnson. He was bad, but the interceptions came after the game was over. But this defense, which boasts 5 Pro Bowlers, granted Terrence Newman is out now, I just will never understand why they can't come together. And they give up 21 points in the first quarter to a Rams team that averages 13 a game or 14 a game or something. And it shocked me. I look at Wade Phillips, and at least the best thing I could say about him is that he seems upset about it all, you know?
He does seem mildly perturbed, but that's about it. I remember in our fantasy draft, I think I took Dallas. It was like the second or third defense taken, and everybody was good with it. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, nice. Because it just seemed like they were going to go 13-3 and have a bunch of blowouts. And to watch them just get run up and down the – the field was crazy. Although, you know, Johnson's interceptions really didn't help with that final score.
Well, he has a weak arm. There's no question about it. It's a liability when he's in there. But, I mean, we should win that game 21-16 or something. It's just the thing that stinks is there's no one game on the schedule I could look at now and say, well, we're definitely going to win that one, and we win that game, and if we could sneak up on the Giants or something. Just there are no easy wins the rest of the way this team is playing. Hats off to the Patriots. I don't know how they do it, but they get chemistry on defense, and they're defensive-minded, and you're competitive every game because of that.
We've been blown out twice in six games.
Oh, yeah, except for those two games. See, I haven't even been watching. Honestly, do you feel the same way? Like, we pretend we know what's going on, but week after week, like, I have no idea who's good in this league.
Somebody sent me a great email about this team beat that team, but then that team beat this. Like, you could do a whole chain with the 30 teams, and it arrives back to the first team.
Right.
You know, like, Baltimore killed Miami, but Miami killed the Patriots, but the Patriots killed Denver. I mean, you could just literally go 30 teams.
Right. And, too many teams is the problem, I think. Right.
Well, I think it's one of those years where, you know, I wrote about it last week. It's a goofy year, and there's really no great team, and there's the five terrible teams that we know are terrible, but other than that, it seems like anybody can beat anybody.
I guess so.
Gambling purposes, we probably should start leaning toward the underdog money lines, it seems like.
Yeah, well, that, and let's bet against Detroit and Cincinnati and Kansas City, because they just don't have a quarterback that could allow them to win or stay competitive in most of these games. But you're right, maybe the underdog.
I got to say, I'm intrigued by the Niners after watching what happened with the Rams with Haslett. And by the way, Haslett was a terrible coach in the Saints like the last couple of years. I went back into some old columns. I would make jokes about him every week. Yeah. But the Niners, I think, have some talent. Like, you look at their roster and, you know, Frank Gore is good. Vernon Davis, they never got him going. They signed all these big money guys in defense. And, you know, I don't think they should be as bad as they were playing. And that division stinks. So.
Right. They should at least be able to compete in the NFC West.
Yeah. I watched that Giants game. I had that on. And I just thought they didn't seem very interested in winning the game. So Singletary was one of the most intense players of our childhood.
That's right.
If anybody's going to give him some intensity, it's him. Anyway, all right, let's get to the lines.
One of the great Tecmo Bowl players of all time.
He really was.
All right, well, I'll start with Tampa Bay at Dallas because it was hard to find a line for this as a result of, you know, we don't know what's going on with Brad Johnson or Romo.
After seeing Brad Johnson, I think I rather would have seen Romo with the broken finger or whatever he's got. He couldn't have been worse.
Yeah, he was bad.
So we have a line for this.
There is a line. I did find a line, and I don't know what they're banking on, who's starting, but
Tampa's one of those teams that everybody wrote off 3 weeks ago and now is getting Super Bowl buzz because it's such a weird season.
Yeah.
I'm going to say even with Brad Johnson, I'm going to say Dallas by 3.5.
Wow, you got it exact. I said 4, and I'd be surprised if Tony Romo doesn't play. I thought, like, as soon as they lose, he'll get in, and that'll be that.
But, you weren't surprised they didn't play this weekend?
Well, he just wasn't ready. He took himself out of the game. Like, we're finding out now. Like, Jerry Jones wanted him in for sure, but he took himself out. He said, I'm not ready. He was throwing sloppily on the sideline. He said that was it. Mm. So, and who thought we couldn't beat the Rams?
That's probably why they did it.
Yeah. All right, so you get that one. By the way, we're 3-3-1 through 7 weeks, so this is a big, big week.
Exciting.
Arizona, Carolina.
Ooh, I like both of these teams.
NFC Championship preview, maybe?
I wouldn't be surprised. I like Arizona, and I think they need to win a big road game at some point to get everybody kind of believing in them, but I'm going to say that this line's a little too high. Carolina by 6.
All right, I said 5, and I get it. This is your favorite line, 4.5.
Oh.
You say they don't know what the odds makers don't know what they're doing here, but the line of 4.5. Don't they seem like a great home team that never gives more than 5 points against another decent team?
No team I don't think has screwed over bettors as the home favorite more than Carolina over the last 5 years. They just have a knack for just killing you.
Yeah.
I like Zona in that game.
All right. Well, that's a tough. I don't know with them. They're coming off a bye, and Bolden's back. That could be a good pick.
The thing with Bolden, though, did you read what they did to his like the surgery he had?
No, what happened?
I don't know how you play with that. He put like 8 plates in his face. It turned out he had a broken jaw.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he had the sinus thing that he had. I don't know. I just don't see how you're just thrown back into the most violent sport that we have in this country.
It is strange.
That kind of injury. It's almost like he was in a car accident.
Yeah. And Liner just sits on the sideline collecting a paycheck. Never getting scratched up. Pretty mug. All right. Buffalo at Miami.
Oh. That looks like a trap game.
Yep.
Or a letdown game or something. I'm going to say... I'm going to say Buffalo by 2.
Buffalo by 2. Yeah, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I said, you get it. It's Buffalo by 1 is the spread.
Okay.
I thought Buffalo would be favored by 4.5. That was too high. But this is my, no pun intended, fishy game of the week. I mean, 5-1 against 2-4. All we hear about is how good the Bills are. I like Miami here.
I still don't think we know what the Bills, because last week would have been the big test for them.
Yeah.
But that was a really weird game. Like, not having power in the stadium, not being able to have replays, a play clock, no communication from the sideline. I feel like, I don't feel like we learned anything from that game. Buffalo won, congratulations, but,
well,
I think
I
the home team has
watch,
an advantage.
We had to watch Steve Harvey for the first 45 minutes of that game. And, I'm confused with that.
Yeah, no,
I think everyone's jumping off the Dolphins bandwagon because they look lousy against the Ravens. But this is, I agree. I think this is a trap. I like the Dolphins.
That Ravens game was a good example of the theory you were talking about last week, where the team that's fired up.
Yeah.
That
yeah, right.
Maybe you just look at that every week. Even even the Pats this week, you know.
Yeah. All right, Washington at Detroit.
Wow.
I love Detroit every week. I don't know what it is. I love
that
Houston
was
this week.
What a terrible cover. I mean, Houston was up 21-0?
Yeah, it was 21.
And somehow doesn't cover?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Washington by 9.5.
All right, I said 9, and it's 7.5.
Oh.
It opened at 7.5. I don't know what it is now. It might have gone to 8, but that's right. I don't know. Maybe that's a teaser game. I can't take Detroit again.
Detroit, basically, they got a 96-yard touchdown to cover.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a totally fluky play. They whatever.
Yeah, well, Calvin Williams had like 1.2 receptions for 150 yards or something.
Yeah.
What
Calvin
did
Johnson?
Oh, Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Williams.
I'm thinking of my high school draft. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of fantasy drafts. Mm. Kansas City at the Jets.
I think KC's the worst team in the league. I know Cincinnati's 0-7 or whatever, but I really think KC's the worst one.
Yeah, but you don't bet against Herm Edwards coming back to East Rutherford with no quarterback. You don't do it. You just don't do it.
Well, that's the thing. The Larry Johnson thing made them, now that he's out of the mix, they have to be considered the worst team in the league. Nobody has a worse quarterback running back combo than Kansas City. The best part was in our league, our Betty Hinch, who has Larry Johnson. He kind of had to do it, but it was jinxed. He did the Jamal Charles, the pickup against Tennessee's defense, which you just knew, like, the max you were going to get was 2 points, but he had to do it anyway. I felt bad for him.
And then when Herm Edwards down, was it 31? What was a crazy
he
score?
He kicked a field goal.
Kicked a field goal. It started first and goal from the 1. He kicked a field goal.
Yeah, that was good. So who are they?
Yeah,
they're playing
Kansas City at the Jets.
Jets by 10.5.
You get this one. I said 9.5. It opened at 11.5 and is up to 13 or 13.5 in some places.
Makes sense. The Jets proved in that Cards game that they can run it up.
Yeah.
They're terrible, though.
What did they prove in that Raiders game? My God.
They proved that Brett Favre, his consecutive start streak is going to end soon if they keep letting him get hit by that.
Yeah. Well, Kansas City's looking for a quarterback. All right, St. Louis at New England.
I don't know what to make of the Rams, and you don't either. None of us.
Well, don't worry. I mean, it's not like the Patriots passed on Steven Jackson. I mean, he only wakes up when the team passed on him in the draft. And
yeah, I love in football where you play 16 times a year and you should be motivated anyway.
Right.
Like you need that to push you over the top.
They even bring that up, and you know, like when you're about to negotiate a contract, they're like, all right, I'll remember that.
Well, he knew Julius Jones smoked.
Right.
And that's why it's what really upset him, because he takes care of his body. I like the Rams in this game. Even when we were up 27-0 in that Denver game, I still felt like didn't feel like a 27-0 game. It just felt like a game that Denver played really bad.
Speaking of that, by the way, is there a bigger scumbag than Belichick still up 34-7 going to no huddle offense?
Come on.
People are betting the under 48.5. What do you mean, come on? What
he's
is this
trying
guy
to get Castle confidence. The guy is an emotional train wreck.
I know, but does Robert Kraft have to choke to death on a lobster roll before Belichick learns his lessons on karma? Like, enough already. You won the game. You're going to play this team again, probably.
I support it because I think any play that Matt Castle runs helps him, since he's run about 50 in the last 9 years.
All right.
That's the only reason it didn't bother me. Did you like our guy who has four first names and that's his entire name?
Well, I put in for him in another league to pick him. Yeah.
Ben Jarvis Green Hayes?
Yeah.
What's his name? Ben Jarvis Green Hayes?
I like that.
That's one of the craziest names in the history of sports.
He was on the Cosby Show, right?
And the weird part is the two middle names are Jarvis Green, which is the guy we had who died last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's a little bizarre. I'm going to say Pats by 6.5. No. It's going to be higher. It's going to be Pats by 7.
Well, you got it exactly. I mean, I thought it would be 10. I must not know what's going on with this Rams team either.
I think that's more of an indictment of the Pats than.
Yeah, but you just won by 50.
That's the worst defense in the league.
Is Harrison out for the year, too?
Harrison's out for the year. And we lost Maroney, probably lost Sammy Morris.
Maybe it'll be closer.
Yeah.
All right, Atlanta at Philly.
One last thing in the Rams.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, after they fired Linehan, you know they have those division odds bets?
Yeah.
That would have been a nice bet.
For the Rams to win it?
Yeah, because when you think about it, 2 weeks ago, Arizona was 2-2. They were only two games back in the division.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
And then I bet the odds would have been 250-1.
I guess. I don't know. But does Joe want to? Maybe Joe could check now.
No, he doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. He got married.
All right. Give him a break.
What do we got for next?
Atlanta at Philly.
I like this Atlanta team.
Let me just say, if they win, they're 5-2, Atlanta. And all of a sudden, the NFC South, I think, is the best division in the league.
Because they'd have four above 500 teams?
Well, you'd have Atlanta. Carolina will probably have. No, Carolina already has 5-1.
You know what, though? New Orleans is going to drop off.
Yeah.
I see them finishing at like 6-10.
Yeah, but they might be the worst team, I'm saying.
This is a tough game for Atlanta because you know they're just going to blitz the living hell out of them. And this is like where we find out if Matt Ryan is for real this year. I think he's for real in general, but for this year, is he really a playoff quarterback? Did you see the stat that the last, it was something like rookie quarterbacks who started right away and their records the last 10 years.
What is
even
that,
Peyton Manning was terrible. Yeah, no, there was not a single guy who really came through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like there's not enough being made of this Matt Ryan.
Listen, I remember sitting through a 1-15 Troy Aikman season.
Yeah.
With the bartender to put the game on, the whole bar screaming at me. Yeah.
I think he's way, way, way better than people are making a fuss about. It's incredible. Rookie quarterback?
Well, just to win on the road, which he's already done, is.
We had Bledsoe as a rookie, and I think we went 0-12 or something like that, and then we won the last couple of games.
Yeah.
We were like 1-11, but it. You know, they don't know what's going on. The game's so fast. Anyway, I'm going to say Philly by 6.5.
All right, I get it by 0.5. I said 8, and it's 7.5.
That's too high. I don't think Philly's that good.
Yeah, well, they're both coming off byes, right?
Also, is that... That's a Sunday game.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
the Phillies are that night?
Oh, interesting. The Phillies are
the old day nighter. What a day nighter that is.
They did it again, yep.
I like that.
Boy, how did they do it? San Diego at New Orleans. And actually, it's not at New Orleans. I'm sorry. It's in England. This one's in England.
Oh, it's the London game.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big fact that you omitted there.
I know. I wasn't going to tell you.
I'm going to say San Diego by 7.
Oh. San Diego by 3.5. I said 2.5, so I get that one.
Really?
Wow.
Without Reggie Bush, who's running the ball for the Saints?
You know what? I just think when it's overseas, they count it as like they would a preseason game, and they can't make the line over like 3.5.
Yeah, but let's say a neutral site, then I don't agree with that. I think that line's too low. I think New Orleans is done.
Well, let me just say, San Diego, you might be right, is in good shape, because the West Coast team playing the early game on Sunday in London is undefeated this year. Can't lose. Now, we've been saying it all year, but the loser's out, right? They're both 3-4. The five losses, eight games in, has got to be out.
Why is San Diego out?
3-4. Oh, you think even the 3-5, they could...
That could be an 8-8 wins that division.
Yeah.
Who's good in that division?
Denver's got a game lead on them, right? Yeah, and they still...
Denver's awful. Yeah, they are just... Their defense is a disgrace. So I don't see how they make it.
Yeah. All right. Oakland at Baltimore.
Do we think Oakland might be coming on or no?
Well, I know that it is not the personality of a Coach Cable team to go in and lay down on the road. That's what you're asking me.
That was the last time we'll see the timeout to freeze the kicker, and then he misses it, but then makes it the next after the timeout.
We'll never
see that again, right?
I hope so.
After the fifth time.
Yeah, there's a ton of that. But he had to look on and say, look, but everybody does it.
I know, but everybody does it. And each time it doesn't work. I mean, seriously, I don't remember it working.
No, it doesn't
I remember work. It not working like six times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Oakland at Baltimore, and Baltimore's coming off a win, and so is Oakland. That's a tough one.
I hit this one exact, so.
I'm going to say that it's Baltimore by 7 because Oakland does not score in the game.
Yep, it's 7. We both had 7.
Yes.
All right, so you're up. Oh, it's 5-5 now.
Ooh.
5-5 with the ties, counting the ties. All right, now we go to the late afternoon games. Cleveland at Jacksonville.
Cleveland should have won last week. They might be the worst coach decent team in the league.
Yeah,
but they're a decent team that's poorly coached, so now they're not even decent.
Yeah.
Cleveland at who?
Jacksonville.
Oh,
I guess
like
Jacksonville's
this.
3 easy games now, this being the first. So
yeah, this is the Jags make their run right here. I'm going to say Jags by 7.
You got it exact. Wow. All right, you take the lead. Cincinnati at Houston.
What did you say for that one?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had 8.
Okay. Cincinnati at Houston. My Texans. I don't know why I like them. I think I'm 1-6 picking them this year, and I still love them. I'm going to say, God, can they really be a double-digit favorite after they screwed everybody last week in that Lions game? I guess they can. I'm going to say 11.
Wow, you get it. I said 6.5. It's 10. And you're right. Yep. They are, in fact, the two-win Texans are, in fact, a double-digit favorite 2 weeks in a row.
That might be a record. Yeah, they were 9 last week. No, they were 9 last week.
No.
Wasn't
Hold
it
on,
9?
I'll look back.
No, it was, or maybe it started at 10. It finished at 9.
They ended up like 11. Yeah, it started at 9. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is how bad the league is. That team like that is a double-digit favorite 2 weeks in a row.
I still think they're pretty good, though.
Ugh.
They can do some stuff.
All right. I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, Fitzpatrick is not going to light it up. So
no.
Do the points. It works out. All right, the game of the week, Giants at Steelers.
That's a nice one. That's a good game.
Tough defenses.
Like that game.
The winner, everyone will tout them as the best team in the league, right? If you throw, I know you like the Titans, but
well, what else do the Titans have to do? They've killed everybody except for the one game that they came back and won.
Yeah.
The Steelers are good at home. I'm going to say Steelers by 2.5.
All right, you get it because I said the Giants by 1. And it opened at Steelers -1, and now it's 2.5. So,
all right.
But you get that. That's a good game.
The Giants seem like they're a guy short.
Yeah.
On defense or offense. I don't know. There's something. They're missing that one more great guy. I think Aussie would help them.
Yeah. Shockey, you said?
No, they're missing something. I'm not sure what it is. Like, especially when Plax goes into those funks, like they don't, you know, Jacobs has been great, but they don't, maybe that Hickson guy will emerge.
I love this. I don't care. The Giants lose. It's good for my Cowboys. The Steelers lose. We can make fun of our friend Dave.
Well, you'd think, like, the Steelers have had trouble blocking. You'd think the Giants would be able to get to Big Ben.
Yeah, that's true.
Make some stuff, and then he'll do his thing where he starts pretending he's hurt.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Seattle-San Francisco is the last late afternoon game.
Yeah, I think we have to throw Seattle potentially into that Detroit-Kansas City-Cincinnati mix.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they are awful.
They're awful, but at least they didn't get blown out by the stinking Rams. I just can't believe. I look at that game. Like, they stayed with Tampa Bay. They only ended up losing by 10.
Yeah, they did.
How does anyone lose to the Rams?
Seneca Wallace is one of those guys where it's you kind of talk yourself into it, and then he misses the first receiver by 10 yards, and you realize, like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you have to be accurate. You have to be accurate to be a quarterback. I forgot. Who is this game?
Seattle at San Francisco.
Oh, I like the Niners. I think they come on with Singletary.
New coach.
I'm going to say Niners by I'm going to say this is a little high. I'm going to say Niners by 5.5.
All right, I get this because I said 5, and it's 4.5. Well, let me add it up. 8-2.
Don't cheat.
Oh, I think I lost already. Yeah, it's 8-6. I can't, because there's no Sunday night game. I can't win now.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you, do you think Mike Nolan, like when he goes for a job on Wall Street, he wears sweatpants and a sweatshirt? he just, what's he going to do now?
I think he wears the suit. Wait a second. So there's no NBC game this week?
There's no Sunday night because the game, what will it be? When's it game 4 of the World Series?
I actually thought Collinsworth-Michaels was excellent.
Of course.
Yeah,
Collinsworth is great.
It was really good. He was all over that game. And, I was flicking back and forth with the Red Sox, and it was obvious Tampa was going to win, but I was still interested in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Monday, Indy at Tennessee. Good game.
I mean, the Indy season's over if they lose that game.
I hit this exact, and I agree. Yeah, they're 3-3.
Well, because they'd be four games back.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they could get the wild card, but
I still think 10-6 is going to have to get you the wild card. So at 3-4, they'd be in trouble.
So they'd have to be 7-2 down the stretch.
Yeah. And have a tough schedule, right? You have the Pats and the Steelers.
Let's say Tennessee by 4.
Right, I got it exact. It's 3.5.
Damn it!
I'm going to say something right here. The Colts win this game, I think.
It would seem they certainly need it.
They are going to set a record, the Colts, for record times a group has jumped on and off a bandwagon for a team. And back on, I think, after this week.
I'm going to say one. I'm going to give you a counter-argument.
Yeah.
Because I think this is, when you look at teams in the National Football League, an indicator that a team might not be as good as you think is when they keep falling behind by a lot of points. The Colts this year, I think that last week, out of the 6 games they've played, that was the 4th time they've fallen behind by 14 points or more.
Is it that many?
Yeah, because it was the Minnesota and Houston games, the Packer game, and then what was the game they got killed in?
They got killed. Not
the first game, the Bears.
The Bears, right.
And they were and who else did they lose to?
Who did they have? They have 3 losses.
Yeah.
Then you just name them?
No, because they ended up beating Houston, and they ended up beating Minnesota. Oh, they lost to Jacksonville.
Right.
Didn't Jacksonville kill them, too?
I can't remember what the score was. Yeah.
Well, if Jacksonville was up by 14, that would be 5 of the 6 games. But it was definitely 4 of the 6.
Well, I don't know what the fluke is. I don't know what the fluke is.
Well, I think the thing is, I think it's a very smart veteran team that kind of knows what they're doing, but I don't know if they have the horses anymore.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be falling behind every game by 2 touchdowns.
Well, you say falling behind. That's the thing with this Titans team. They don't really fall behind, right? They stay on top, and if Manning hooks up with Wayne, and they go down 7-0. All of a sudden, I don't care that the Titans are 6-0. I think they have a hard time winning.
I would agree with you that, except that the Tennessee Baltimore game. I thought the same thing. They're not going to be able to score when they absolutely have to, but they did. They got the touchdown in that game, and it's a good defense.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, we'll see. Now, listen, we're done. You won 8-7, so you're up in weeks 4-3-1 tie. But you have to settle this or help settle this argument. You weren't there at my cousin Jimmy's house Sunday, where our friend Brad, who likes to fly off the handle, actually it was Carolla who brought it up, and he said, and I'm sure you've thought about this, would the Red Sox come back, if they had won the World Series this year, would it have been a more improbable win than when they came back and beat the Yankees in 04 and then won the World Series.
Right.
And Carolla said yes, and Brad said yes, and this guy Kyle said, our friend Kyle said, no way. You can't add up all the circumstances. And I think it's a mathematical thing, right? Like, down seven runs with seven outs remaining, what is that, like 75-1, right? Just that game right there?
I would say 2004 was more amazing.
Really?
Yeah, because they're down 3-0. You had 86 years of baggage. You're playing this team that you've never won ever in the history of mankind. You've never beaten. And then they were down a run in the ninth inning against the best closer of the last, probably
right.
ever.
So what
and then they
the
had to win game five.
What are the odds they win that, just that game?
The odds just scoring a run in that game against a guy who had given up like nine runs that entire season, I would say 20-1 just for to win
really?
That game in the ninth inning, yeah.
But then
when you look at game four, game five, all the breaks they got, and
yeah,
you know, like
those,
Tony
those
Clark's double
games,
not bouncing the wall, and
those are other games are 2-1 odds the rest of the way because they were favored, they were underdog, or maybe a little more, but. Yeah, you know, they still needed two hits off of a human being, whereas in game five, they needed seven runs and seven outs. Anyone from Elias or anyone who could figure this out, I'd like to know if there's how many teams have overcome a seven-run deficit with seven outs or even nine outs.
All right, well, there was one team that did it, the 1929 A's. Actually, we could solve this right now. One team had already come back from that deficit in a game, but no baseball team had ever come back from 3-0.
Yeah, but
and it only happened three times in the history of sports.
Right, I understand. But no team had won, come back from seven runs and then won two more games and then four more. Like I'm saying, for them to have won the World Series this year, which they didn't, that would have been a more... If Vegas were to put odds on both situations in their most dire position, I think the Red Sox of this year would have had much longer odds to come back.
See, I disagree, and here's why. Because we had the baggage in 04, but this year we were the two-time champs, and it was conceivable that the team had enough pride, and they'd come back from 3-1 two other times. And, you know, I mean, the individual game was amazing. On Elias, I saw the odds because they simulated it like a million times or something.
Right.
The Rays had a 99.3% chance of winning the game after the top of the seventh.
Winning that game.
So the Red Sox had a 0.7% chance of winning
right.
after going into the bottom of the seventh.
I would say
the odds were higher than 100-1 after game three that the Red Sox were going to come back and become the first team ever to do that.
No way, no.
And then win the World Series.
No. First of all, they weren't because they were about 25-1 after game three before even the Mariano Rivera stuff.
Oh, but now you can do a parlay and you got to parlay them with the Cards.
Yeah. But you know, you would have had to play the Phillies too, so it's like the same thing.
All right, let me ask you this. I'm sitting in a bar after the eighth inning, game four, 2004, and you say to me, or I say to you, I'll give you 100-1 odds that the Red Sox don't come back and they don't win the World Series. Would you have taken it?
I probably would have taken it. But here's
just because you like to gamble.
I like to gamble. I have to have some kind of action on this. But I just think it's... If someone could figure this out, I just think from an odd standpoint, and I know I'd say include all that stuff you talk about, like the drama and Rivera, and they never beat him and everything. But I think from an odd standpoint, that was just a crazy.
What?
It would have been something to come back from that.
I could just tell you, like, being a fan who was in both positions, I just really wanted them to win game four just because I didn't want to get swept. But it was inconceivable to me that they could have come back and then continue to win the World Series at that point after the eighth inning. I mean, my dad wanted to leave the game. So in game five...
Don't you think the Red Sox, you say the history is against them, but don't you think they were just tired of getting kicked around and that figures in too? Like come on, we have to do it this year.
Hey, well, you look at that inning, though. Millar gets a walk. They bring in Roberts. He steals second base by like an inch.
Yeah.
I mean, he really was almost thrown out. And then all of a sudden, Billy Miller hits the ball up the middle for the single. It was really, you know, not like the most impactful run. It was like a walk, stolen base.
Well, that's
ground
what
ball
I'm saying.
Single,
only a couple things have to go right against, I know, one of the great closers of all time, but only a couple things have to go right to get that run, whereas seven or eight things have to go right in that.
Yeah, but if you watch those game four, game five, And it really was improbable that they came out of those. Well, we had Curtis Laskanik pitching. Right. All kinds of crazy things. I was watching that Tampa Game 5 feeling like, yeah, I was half watching and kind of assumed the season was over, but they didn't turn it off.
They had any and all momentum on their side, though, Tampa. I don't know. I want to figure out the numbers. And by the way, I think you're going to get a call from Brad now. This is how this works out.
I think it's a good argument. So what happened? Did Brad and Kyle, they went at it?
Oh, it was bad because Brad... I had to step in between because Brad's telling about a fourth grader could figure out the math, and Kyle's like, oh, well, you keep saying math. And then Brad had to walk out of Jimmy's house for a few minutes and compose himself, and then there was screaming and maybe hair pulling, I don't know. But I don't know if anyone could figure this out, but I'd like to see just what Vegas would put odds on both scenarios.
All right, so we know for a fact that Elias came up with 99.3% odds for Tampa.
For that game, right?
After the top of the seventh.
Right. So more than about 1 in 100 chance.
So what we would have to do is somebody would have to come up with odds for Red Sox bottom of the ninth, down by a run, Rivera in the game, and down 3-0 in the series.
Were they down two runs before Rivera got in? Was it 3-3 and then 4-3?
No, they're down... Poppy hit a homer in either 4 or 5. I can't remember.
Wherever you were most behind in that game, that's where you should start.
All right, we'll figure this out, and we'll have an answer for you next week in the BS.
This is good. What a boring 15 minutes.
All right, Sal, talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye. All right, as promised, Matthew Berry is back on as we're going to figure out the last 5 entrants to our fantasy basketball challenge, the Sim and Berry 2009 basketball challenge, or whatever we're going to end up calling it. We need to get a sponsor for this thing, Matt. Matthew.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's all I ask. You know what? Because Verizon Wireless ran these commercials, win a contest with Matt Berry. Drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Drove me absolutely nuts. I was all excited. I was in a national commercial, and then, of course, they get my name wrong. You wouldn't like it if you were like William Simmons.
Or Will Simmons.
Simmons.
Hey, we just pulled you from a SportsCenter set. How much makeup do you have on right now?
I have a lot.
Joe Mead, how much makeup does he have on?
He's caked.
Does he look like he should be lying in a coffin? Amount of makeup?
Here's what's weird. Without makeup, that's what I look like. I'm so pale. I'm so white that they have to put makeup on to make it look like I have life in my body.
All right, let's go through these emails. Yeah. You forgot to read four.
I forgot a couple. This one's from Brandon Thompson. If allowed in this league, I would personalize my license plate on my vehicle to read Simonberry.
That's too many letters. I don't see how he could do that.
Simonberry is how he would do it.
Nah.
All right. He doesn't get in. This goes to the SAD. I'm a second-year law student at the University of Colorado. I want to give you a brief glimpse of how hellish this year is. I recently asked a lesbian friend of mine to set me up with a cute straight friend of hers, this girl Emily. She agreed. Then while I was stuck in the library finishing up a brief, my lesbian friend hooked up with Emily. They're dating now.
Where's he from?
He is from the University of Colorado. That is Ryan Day is his last name. He goes to law school.
It's probably around 2.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. This is a guy, Matt Oliveira, who, remember how you were complaining on the last podcast that no one offered you something really cool?
Yeah.
This guy has a foul ball that he caught at John Lester's no-hitter. And he's willing to offer to you. He's a diehard Red Sox fan. I don't know how he would authenticate that, though, and it goes to the thing that I get no benefit from that.
Tough to authenticate, and you get nothing for a very generous offer, but we're going to have to pass.
We're going
to
pass on him. This one I think you will really like. This is from Nathan Ojanen, who says, if I win your fantasy basketball league, I'm willing to forego all the prizes, including the trip to Bristol and the ESPN tour, in exchange for Matthew Berry growing a Fu Manchu mustache. This way, if when I win, everybody wins except for maybe Matthew Berry and the ladies of Bristol.
That's pretty good.
He says, I like
it. You'd have to agree to that, though.
I would agree to that. If he wins, and I lose, I'd grow a Fu Manchu.
What was that guy's name?
That's from Nathan Ojanen.
As far as I'm concerned, he's in. It's up to you.
All right, let's put him on the maybe. We'll see, because we've got a lot of tough competitors, but he definitely goes round 2.
All right.
He's definitely in round 2.
He's a strong contender right now.
Yeah.
Anything that leads to you with facial hair is something that I'm going to obviously be in support of.
Andrew Smith says, for every game that the Clippers manage to score 100 points, I will donate $5 to the Jimmy V Fund. I choose the Clippers because the sports guy follows them. They need more people to cheer for them. I know it's not much money, but I recently graduated from college into the worst economy in 100 years.
Very generous offer, but I think the Clippers are going to break 100 about three times.
Yeah, so maybe not.
That's a nice thought, though.
Yes. Last one is three from Kimberly McKenzie. This is the one I referenced in the other BS report. I don't know if it made the cut. Three quick bullet points as to why I should be in the man's league. I fit into the demographic of the 20 to 24-year-old girl. I'm an avid sports fan, especially Boston. I was a 20-something girl in a bar who actually recognized Matthew and said, tell your buddy Bill that he better start back up with a podcast like he promised. I'm getting bored at work. And fourth, most importantly, because Matthew Berry owes me a beer. Do you remember this? She writes that, like, she was at Brother Jimmy's. She was waiting for the bathroom. She happened to recognize me. She proceeded to say, I loved it when I, meaning me, was on the BS report and he needed to tell his buddy Bill that even though he was gone fishing for the summer, he promised to still do podcasts. He hadn't done one in quite a while. And she says, Matthew so kindly emailed Bill with the subject. A girl at a bar recognized me from the BS report. And that you immediately wrote back to say to look tomorrow. Much to my light, there were in fact posted the next day. Do you remember getting that email from me? Do you remember that whole thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
So she just talks about how...
I love how she recognized you from the BS report, which is not a video medium.
I think she's working real hard to get into this league. So she says, I hung around and talked to Matthew for a little while discussing sports and different kinds of things. Drunk people talk about in bars. After a few, realized we were low on beer. Matthew kindly offered to buy a round. I declined and said, no worries. I would get the next round for us in an effort not to feel like one of the annoying groupie type girls. Fought my way to the bar, bought the beer, brought back drinks as best I can recall, hung out for a bit with a more conversation. There may have been some dancing involved with the group. Matthew and I finished our beer, said our goodbyes. He proceeded off with his young blonde lady friend. I thought that would be the last time Matthew and I's paths would cross until I heard the podcast about the basketball league and thought about how Matthew Berry still owes me a beer. So I think instead of the beer, I'm willing to take an entrance into the man's league. That's Kimberly McKenzie.
You just read that because you wanted people to know that you had a blonde lady friend.
Duh. Yeah, that event was this fantasy football draft event that ESPN the magazine held in New York at Brother Jimmy's.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, dude. If ever there's a time to meet girls, it's where there's a big event where you're sort of the star of it. So that was a pretty good night for me. Let's just leave it at that. I mean, cause it was like, whatever, it was a fantasy event and I'm the fantasy guy. And like, you know, if you were a single guy at like one of your book signings.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think about that stuff anymore, Matthew.
I understand. You're a married man. You're in love with a sports gal. You have two beautiful children. I'm just telling you.
She listens to the podcast.
Exactly. Of course. I'm just telling you
that
if something were to ever happen between you and the sports gal and you found yourself out on the market, you should start writing books and doing personal appearances.
I liked her entry, but not enough.
Not enough. All right. Yeah. Well, she goes to the, I mean, we do have a slot for a female entrant potentially.
Okay, well, so we'll advance her to that, but it's not looking good.
It's not looking good.
Let's figure this out so this doesn't become the first hour, 2 hour podcast and Joe Mead won't kill himself later.
Okay. So here are the people that I think are in
Well, hold on. We besides you and me, we have Navy Eric.
Yep.
We have Cardboard Matt.
Cardboard Michael.
Cardboard Michael.
Yes.
And then
Seattle Matt.
And then Seattle Matt. Okay.
Right.
So those three are in, as we discussed in the previous podcast. Now, here's round two to try to figure out who the next five people are.
All right. So I can tell you, if you want, I can go through people that I think probably are, that we made it to the next round that I think we can probably cut here.
Okay. Let's just zoom through.
All right.
Don't read it, though. Just refresh the memories.
Guy wants to set me up with his hot 25-year-old cousin.
Yeah, he's out.
Ben and Jerry's guy who couldn't really promise anything.
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah. The guy who bought all the stuff, bought Crocodile Dundee, brought your book, bought all the Simonberry domain names.
I kind of like that guy.
All right, we can
keep him
around.
I thought that was inventive.
It was inventive. All right, we'll keep him around.
I think it's round three for him.
All right, Tom Arnold's assistant.
Yeah, he advances.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll keep him around. Let's see, the guy that just had a really good smack talk about Matt Cassidy. He would name his baby William Matthew. 6 months into the...
Yeah, but we couldn't even mention half of the smack talk because it violated ESPN obscenity rules.
Right, yeah.
So he's out. He should have known.
No, this is a different... This is a different one. This is the guy who said, you know, his baby will be born just in time to watch Matt Cassel throw his fifth touchdown of the season, even though that's already happened. Remember this is the guy?
Yeah,
like how I would gush at all your free agent pickups and...
Oh, yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah.
All right,
Jason Jensen.
Maybe he should advance. The other guy shouldn't advance. The guy that violated the ESPN obscenity.
Yes, no, he doesn't advance. These are all my quote no's. You're advancing way too many people. I'm just telling
you
right now.
Okay.
But all right, we can advance him.
Well, no, screw it then. Don't advance him. Right. I trust you.
All right. We got the guy who wants to marry his girlfriend on the podcast. We think it should happen anyway.
Yeah, he can get his bang for his buck either way.
23-year-old with his 3-year-old brother. Has to share the room with his 3-year-old brother.
You know, I like that guy, but we had a more pathetic entry, I think, if we're going to go that road.
Yes. Yeah. Guy who owns Fire, Talented Mr. Roto, and FireBillSimmons.com. You know, you can just come up with FireSportsGuy.com, FireTMR.com. There's so many other domain names, yeah. Even if you put that over to us.
Plus, if you're thinking that way, that you're thinking those are URLs you should buy, you're probably a little bit evil.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't.
So I don't know if we want evil people.
No, we don't definitely want evil people. Guy who did the Wikipedia page for Simonberry.
It's good, not good enough.
Yeah. Let's see, and then the guy who sent in the who has the video of him willing to send in footage of his recent mock auction against a chair.
It's funny, but not funny enough to get past this point.
Right. Yeah. The guy who would light an autographed A-Rod card on fire and post it on YouTube.
I think he should do that anyway.
Yes, I think so too. Guy with a Manny Ramirez top prospect rookie card.
I thought he had two of them.
He has two, yes.
That's a pretty good bribe.
Yeah, I think we got better bribes, to be honest. But we can keep him in the next round. And then the kid, the junior in high school that wants you to do his yearbook quote. Who says if you win, if we let him into the league, you can do his yearbook quote. Do you have a good yearbook quote yet?
I mean, I could easily get one.
Right. All right. I think he should let you do it anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's something that's an offer that he should have made regardless.
Yeah. All right. So, So here's the other one. So, and you can tell me who he goes to the next round. All right.
Okay.
Susan Goho here, who makes she wrote me a whole thing about how, Chris Paul, look, if drafting a team, I want someone who makes everyone better, doesn't take nights off, and doesn't distract from team chemistry. So she's saying you should draft Chris Paul fantasy in real life over Kobe and LeBron. She says, you know, Kobe's out on the chemistry qualifier. Bron mails it in every once in a while.
He won't this year.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
I like the name Susan Goho. It sounds like a place to stop for a meal when you're on the road.
Yes.
Hey, I think I see a Susan Goho's ahead there.
I agree with you. I agree.
It's a nice name.
It sounds like you could get, it sounds like a casual, kind of quaint, kind of a country inn feel.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are our top female, entrants.
Well, do you want to decide that? First of all, do we have to force a female entry?
No, not necessarily. So we'll leave that to the side because we've got a lot
of
them.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm not overwhelmed by any of those.
Yeah. Right, and you're married, so God forbid we put a female into the league.
No, I would have put one in, but it wasn't like there wasn't anybody who made my knees weak.
No, me either. I'm with you. But anyway, we'll see. I like the three. All right, so anyway, we have Amy Poehler's brother. Did you confirm that, by the way?
Forgot to confirm that.
All right, so.
I'm gonna guess, though, I was thinking about that. Not something you'd make up.
It's an odd one to make up.
It's if you're gonna make up like a celebrity, you know, I think she's great, but you'd almost want to like make up somebody more outrageous if you're making it up. Amy Poehler's just random. Like, how would you come up with Amy Poehler?
Right. Well, his name is Poehler, right?
No, he has an email address. It says Greg Poehler at a particular email address, and so I mean, and it's such a
wasn't it Brian?
No, it's Greg.
Okay,
Greg Poehler.
So anyway, all right. Well, but anyway, so he's. We'll keep him around. He could be, if we put him in, he could be conditional on proving that Amy's his sister.
Okay.
We got musical theater guy, one act play guy. We got the kids book guy. We got the guy whose sister you made out with. We got the guy who wants to give us Steve Bartman's headphones.
Yeah.
We got the guy who wants to get a tattoo of our choosing. Got the guy who's willing to rent a private plane to pick both of us up and bring you, Joe Mead, and have a proper bachelor party for you.
Joe's electronic tracking bracelet just went off.
I'm going to vote for that guy.
Listen to this. And, Jacqueline Purdy, Emmy Award-winning Jacqueline Purdy, voted for Greg Poehler. We got the rocket scientist who's willing to name his Vortex Breakdown Research publishing on us. Something like that.
You know, that's when you think about it, it's a strong hook. Just we have the rocket scientist.
Yeah. We have the rocket scientist.
Well, let me ask you this. Can we confirm, what kind of email address did he have?
It's an EDU. It's an EDU. He says, I'm a rocket scientist working on my PhD at the University of Arizona, and it's an Arizona EDU email address. I'm conducting research on the vortex breakdown and free swirling jets. If chosen for the BS Man's League, I will publish my results as the Simon Matthews Berry Bill Theorem.
I think that we should be able to rename that theorem, and I think he might be able to be in.
All right.
So Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's move him to the next round. It's pretty cool. We got the 37-year-old guy who clocks in at 480 pounds but moves like he did at 350.
Yeah, move him up.
All right. We got the kid in the ending of Karate Kid, wants to give us part of Daniel LaRusso's hair.
You know, it's a strong story.
But no, that's fine.
I mean, it's something somebody can make up. Yeah, it's it could be made up.
Right. We have to be very tough at this point.
Somebody could have just watched that YouTube video, seen the kid grab the headband, and made that whole thing up.
Okay. So then we've got the Barry and Simmons, the original Kings of Fantasy sign at the Game 5 World Series. That guy that wants to hold up the sign for us.
It's really good, but there might not be a payoff since they might never show him.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I
it's
think
one
he's
of the
out.
Things that's like,
it's great thought.
But I'll tell you this much. If that guy's listening, do the sign, and if you get on TV, we guarantee you a spot in the next year's Man's League. How about that?
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Or we're also, we could do the real world thing where he's the first backup in case in case something horrible happens and we have to kick somebody off.
Right, which so could he, happen.
Yeah, which he's happens a, every other year in the real world.
Right. He's a heartbeat away. If one of our guys gets in a big drunken fist fight.
Yeah. We see that sign, and you're either in next year or you get first spot if there's a terrible message board flame war or something bad and we have to boot somebody.
You get that sign on, and we promise you, you will be in a league with Bill and I at some point in your life.
Yes. Okay.
Sometime soon, within a year.
Okay.
All right. And then we got the guy who works for General Mills and get each of us or a loved one of our choice on the cover of a Wheaties box.
That might have been the best bribe.
Yeah. That one's pretty cool.
I don't even know how he would do that. It almost doesn't seem like it's legal.
It doesn't at all. But I don't know. Maybe he's got a way. I don't know. So obviously more than five, a bunch of strong contenders.
I really like the rocket scientist. Uh-huh. I really like I like the Wheaties guy.
Yeah.
I like the 480 pounds, but he moves like he's 350.
Okay.
These are off the top of my head.
Right. And then the Bruce Willis and Die Hard 3 guy, willing to stand in Times Square.
Yeah, that was good, but we're not going to get that. We won't pay off.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
And I think that I'm going to nix Tom Arnold's assistant because I think if we're going to go the obscure celebrity route, I'd rather have Amy Poehler's brother than
Tom
Arnold's
assistant. Yeah, I think Amy Poehler's brother. I agree.
All right, so he's done. Sorry, dude.
Well, let's just say we have rocket scientist, Amy Poehler's brother, 480 moves like he's 350. And who was the other one we really liked?
Well, we liked a bunch. You liked Bartman's headphones. Although
yeah, I didn't love that one.
Yeah, all right, so he's gone.
Out.
Well, you loved the little book, the children's book guy.
What book company was that?
It didn't say. It's a Gmail account. So
that's a little sketchy.
It's a little sketchy.
I love the idea, but we need. He should have.
Again, that's next year, dude. Next year.
Well, he should have written us from the company account. Like if it was like from Little Brown or HarperCollins or whatever,
should
have had a HarperCollins email address. Then I'd, can't do the Gmail.
If I was the guy, what I would have done is from HarperCollins.com, and I would have mocked up what it would have looked like.
Yeah.
Here's what Little Bill and Little Matthew sharing looks like or something
Did the Wheaties guy have a real email?
No, it didn't. So, I mean, he could be a conditional too. He could be conditional too. And then we got the one-act play guy. We got Amy Poehler's brother.
Jacqueline made a good point about the one-act play guy. What if it's just absolutely horrendous?
Yeah.
And then not even horrendous in a fun way. It's just horrendous.
Yeah, you're right. All right, he's done. Again, but if he was able to do all that, if he did that, he staged it and shot it, he'd be in next year.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have the other guy, Tim Phipps, who had 40 people to write in that people want Tim Phipps. We got 40 emails from that guy.
I really like that.
I thought that was pretty clever.
Very creative.
I thought that was pretty clever too.
Where's he from?
It didn't say. I don't know where he's from.
But we have his email.
Yeah. I got his email. But I got 40 people.
So it's 40 different people emailed on behalf of Tim Phipps.
Something like that. 25 or 30. I didn't count, but a lot of people did.
That's more than an empty promise to me. That is a sign that somebody really wants to be in the league and actually badgered his friends to email you.
Yes, he definitely did that. And we have the guy whose sister you made out with. So you could torture him in a league. On the other hand, you only made out with his sister.
Yeah, and it really was probably only for like a minute.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's going to unfortunately get the cut.
Which is too bad. But the point is that everyone, America now knows that you got to first base with a sister. Nice job.
Yeah. I mean, it really wasn't even first base. I think I got thrown out trying to get to first base.
So his sister wouldn't... It's his sister's fault then. Well, let's just say it. You're not getting in the league because his sister is pure.
It's murky. I don't really remember the details of the night, but yeah.
All right. So we've now narrowed this down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've now got 7 for 5 spots.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 8 for 5 spots.
All right. Why don't you go through them again?
Okay.
I'd like to advance the rocket scientist.
Okay.
I think he's in.
All right, rocket scientist. Yeah, what? if we can confirm that.
No, I think we can confirm it. He had an EDU address. I don't think anybody makes that up.
Right. All right.
And even if he did make it up, he fooled us and deserves to get it anyway.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, let me find his email address here. If you want him in, he's in. He's in.
I like the rocket scientist gimmick. Yeah. I think it'd be funny to actually beat a rocket scientist.
Roman Steele. Roman Steele, you are in the man's league. Welcome.
Right.
Welcome, Dr. Roman, Rocket Scientist Roman.
The Houston Rocket Scientist.
Yeah, the Houston Rocket Scientist. A bad pun for your team name. Congratulations. Anyway, he's in. So that's 6. We got 4 to go. So here they are again. So now we're down to like 7 for 4.
Well, I thought we all agreed Amy Poehler's brother should be in.
Oh, okay. If we can confirm. So he's conditional. So now we're down to 3. 3 left.
I think we let him in anyway. I don't think anybody makes that up.
It's got to be conditional. You've got to find this out. Find this out, Bill. For God's sake. I know you don't want to do work or actual research.
Well, can we go on Wikipedia? God knows Wikipedia
yeah, exactly.
has so many accuracies. But,
Wikipedia yeah. had me dating Danny Boatwright for a year.
It had me getting rejected by BC the last time I looked, which wasn't true.
Right. And by the way, would love it to be true that I dated Danny Boatwright for a year. Couldn't be further from the truth.
She's suing them right now, actually, over that.
I wouldn't
She's
blame
so
her.
Horrified.
I wouldn't. Listen. You haven't seen her work nearly as much. Clearly, her appeal has gone down.
So you don't want to just guarantee? I mean, I really feel like we should come out of this with the last 5.
Yeah.
Why don't we just put
Greg exactly.
Kohler
well, we're in. Gonna, we're gonna. Okay, fine. He's in conditionally. I'm saying he's in with an asterisk.
Okay.
All right. So then you've got Wheaties box guy, you've got fat guy, you've got the tattoo guy willing to get a tattoo.
I really like that one.
I do too.
And I like the 480 moves like 350. I think that's a good team name.
I think so too. It's very funny.
Do you want to just put in 480 and tattoo guy?
Okay. Well, hang on. Let me read all of them. You're whipping through this. Hang on. All right. So you've got a guy willing to rent a private jet, a guy who bought all the stuff. Tattoo guy, fat guy, and Wheaties guy, and Fu Manchu guy. So we have
3 spots left.
Yeah, we have 3 spots. We have 3 spots left for 5 people. I would say. Here's what I'll do. Let's not put the Fu Manchu guy in. But if I finish in the, I'll just do this. You and I should make a bet, just ourselves. If you beat me in this league, wherever I finish, I'll do the Fu Manchu. And if I beat you in the league, I get something. How's that?
What? I'd grow a Fu Manchu?
No, I've seen
you. Why don't
we
just have a Fu Manchu challenge?
What's that? Done. So,
right.
You and I, Fu Manchu challenge.
Okay.
All right, good.
Well, how about this? Let's move ahead. The 480-pound moves like 350.
Yep, okay.
And the tattoo guy, I really like the thought of us deciding what his tattoo should be and him getting it and then
yes.
us putting
okay,
a picture
done.
Of it in your column. I mean,
yep, yeah. absolutely. So
we got 1 spot left.
So that's Tattoo Mike. So Tattoo Mike, welcome to the man's league. Michael
right.
Lotz, nice job. Well done. And AJ Romano is the moves like 350. So
okay. big AJ. I like big AJ.
So Big AJ, all right. So we'll go through these. So basically now it's down to three. It's, the guy who's willing to, charter a private plane for the three of us, for me, you, and Joe Mead. The Wheaties guy, or the guy that bought all the stuff, the guy who registered simonberry.com.net.org.biz.us.info, bought Now I Can Buy in Peace in paperback on Amazon, bought Crocodundi in Los Angeles on DVD, found out he was $1.84 short from getting the free shipping from Amazon.com, so he added Death of a Cheerleader starring Tori Spelling for $5.98 to his shopping cart to the $5.97. And, yeah, so, I mean, all three, I think, are very good entries here.
Here's the thing. We can't prove the Wheatie Box. The charter plane, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit extravagant.
It's a bit extravagant. I'd feel guilty. Then we're hanging out with people we don't know.
And Joe
Mead. My number one worst thing.
Right. And it's people you don't know and Joe Mead.
Yeah, but when I corrupt Joe Mead, it's going to happen at some point.
Right.
I don't want it to happen with America knowing. I want it to be one of those things where I just show up in Bristol in a limo one day, throw him in, and then he's not seen for 2 days.
All right. That's done. So he's done.
I love the invoice guy. Not only was the entry clever, but I love the fact that he presented like an invoice. I just thought out of all the actual entries, that was the most clever one.
I agree. So let's put him in, and then I would put the Wheaties Box guy in as a conditional. Like, because he's, same thing for him. You put me and Bill on a Wheaties Box, and you're in the next
league. So you're saying that would mean we either have a 10-team league or an 11-team league?
Well, we could have a 12-team league.
Nah.
12 team is a real league, dude.
No, I don't want to. Well,
but
12.
I'm saying if somehow Greg Poehler doesn't turn out to be related to Amy, or one of these people has to drop out,
Wheaties guy, I think, should be the first alternate.
Wheaties guy,
because he emailed again. He emailed from a Gmail address.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's out. I think
if that's right.
A legit offer, he's mailing from the work company.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. It's too bad. It's too bad because that is a great.
The Greg Poehler thing is legit. I really feel like that there's no way you make that up.
All right. Well, then here's what I want to do then. Then the first alternate is one of the women, and I don't care which one. But
okay.
Because we should have – because fantasy sports is for everyone, not just for men. By the way, you can play fantasy basketball for free on ESPN.com. Free live scoring bill, auction draft capability, keeper capability, fully customizable. That's why we're doing this, is to promote that.
Well, wait a second.
Yeah.
So you're saying we should maybe bump Greg Poehler and add a woman instead?
No. I'm saying if it turns out that Greg Poehler is not related to Amy, is not Amy's brother.
Okay.
Like, it just happened, if he's like a fourth cousin, because his whole thing was about, I want to be like Frank Stallone and Don Swayze and everything like that. So if he's not actually Amy Poehler's brother, I say he's out.
Should we, Joe, can we call somebody live on the podcast?
We sure could. I'll tell you from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Amy has a younger brother, Gregory, who was a copyright lawyer in New York before moving to Stockholm, Sweden with his wife.
Hmm.
So
it's so far. I mean, but if I was.
He could be an impersonator.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I was going to fake being Amy Poehler's brother, the first thing I would do is look up Wikipedia and figure out what his name is. And then, you know, try to get a Gmail.
Where did he say he lived?
He didn't. Literally, the entire email reads, Why I deserve to be in the league. So that I can be included along Don Swayze, Bruce Buffer, and Frank Stallone in the discussion of the most pathetic brother of a celebrity, and take you two knuckleheads down in the process. And it's from Greg Poehler at blank.com. And it's spelled the same way Amy Poehler spells her last name. So, I mean, my guess is probably true, but it has to be confirmed. If we're throwing all these other people out like, we can't confirm it, we've got to confirm this, dude. You're so trusting in some ways, and yet in other ways so bitter and angry. You're a complicated man, Bill Simmons.
I'm emailing my friend Lewis.
All right. Good. This will be exciting to listen to. Joe, do you have emailing Lewis music?
No, I'm saying we'll figure that out. So why don't we do this?
All right.
So Big Al is in. Should we applaud for him?
Yeah, Big Al. You were in. Welcome to the man's league.
And then who's the tattoo guy?
Tattoo Mike.
Tattoo Mike.
You're in.
Welcome to the league. So in the 10th spot. If we can confirm
and
that it's Amy Poehler's brother.
Well, and we have Tom Shin. Tom Shin is the shopping cart guy The guy, the Amazon guy, the guy who bought all the stuff on Amazon.
Oh.
So we need a good nickname.
Amazon Tom.
Amazon Tom. Amazon Tom.
Amazon Tom.
Welcome to the Man's League. Nice job, Amazon Tom.
Wait, so they, but they, and we already pushed the rocket scientist through, right?
Yeah, that's five.
And who was the other one we did?
Greg Poehler, rocket scientist, Tattoo Mike, Amazon Tom.
And Big Al.
And Big AJ.
And Big AJ. Okay.
Those are the five.
All right. So, and if Greg Poehler is not Amy Poehler's brother, then we're knocking him out and we'll do the best available female, the BAF.
The best available female. Yes. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed because I would have liked, because again, fantasy sports are for everyone.
Well, if we're doing an auction, we can have 11 teams, right?
Yeah. I guess that's a good point. Well, no, because we're doing it head to head. It needs to either be 10 or 12.
So maybe we should just bump Greg Poehler and have one of the females then.
Nah, Jacqueline Purdy voted. Jacqueline Purdy, who's a female, voted for.
If you're Greg Poehler, this is the most exciting podcast anyone's ever had. He's been in and out nine different times. He's in Stockholm, Sweden right now having a heart attack.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we'll stick with Greg Poehler, and if it's not confirmed, we'll go with one of the females.
Right, or if anyone else has to back out.
Okay.
There you go.
Fair enough.
All right. Excellent. So good. We're going to do this Sunday, and you'll post the results in your column online.
Yeah.
I can post them on mine.
We'll do something.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
All right. Matthew Berry, thank you as always.
Thank you, Bill. Always fun.
Talk to you soon.
Target to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.